I hope you were blessed yesterday by the Word of God as we began a series on Lord, Deliver Me from Presumptuous Sins, from a message that was preached at CGMF in one of our Bible studies. And we're going to continue with that and continue on in that message. And I pray that you'll be blessed as we continue on in the Word of God. I pray that you'll allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you and be open with what God wants to reveal to you in His very precious name. It has been a soul-searching message for me. It has humbled me personally, and I pray it will minister to you as well. Now, look with me, if you will, to verse 5. Verse 5 in this message. Okay. Psalm 19 again. Which is like a bridegroom, coming out of his chamber, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. Its rising is from one end of heaven and its circuit to the end, and there is nothing hidden from his heat. Now, there is nothing hidden from his heat. And as we look at that, we've kind of talked about that already a little bit. I want to go back and look at another portion of this passage where it says, and rejoices like a strong man to run its race. The Bible says that it's not to those who run the swiftest, but to those who endure to the end, that they'll be blessed. You know the story of the tortoise and the hare, and how the tortoise ended up winning the race against the hare, even though the hare was much faster. Because of his consistency and plodding along, he made it. The hare lost the race. In our race with Christ, and in our pursuit of the everlasting possession of an eternal crown of life for all of eternity, and to be with Him in heaven, in place of happy abode with the saints of God and with the angels of God, we have to get ourselves to the place where we recognize this is, you know, a race that is to be run not for just today. And we cannot be clouded or be diminished by having insight to this world and our everyday life in a way or in a mechanism or purpose or, you know, in some dimension that says, hey, this is the immediate thing I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going to take care of, and not look at the overall picture. We need to see down the road. We need the insight of the Lord. He's the everlasting God. And if we will allow Him to give us insight into the greater scheme of things and the time and eternity picture that He sees and sees through, we will be able to better walk out and walk through our lives and our faith in such a much, in a much greater way and much more successful manner because of the insight He grants us. But sometimes we just live for the day. We just take care of today and say, well, you know, we'll fix tomorrow later. That can't be our mindset because we don't know what repercussions today has for tomorrow. But the Lord does. And God sets in motion things to be able to work things through, you know, as a strong man to run its race and to be successful. We need to be like endurance runners, and we need to build up our stamina, and we need to encourage ourselves in the most holy faith. In good times and in bad, serving the Lord and seeing the work and the power and the primacy of Christ be real. But too many times we just look for today. Too many times we take care of the moment, not recognizing the repercussions of what we might set in motion. That's being presumptuous. That's being arrogant. We need to be aware of that, and we need to be careful about that. And we need to see through the eyes of faith and also through the understanding of God, and to be able to lay claim and make foundations to live by that help us, that our living out of our faith will be that which will be successful, not just today, but for tomorrow. I even might take some hits today. I might take in some embarrassing moments today. I might even find myself caught back by the moment and have a setback. But if that's what it takes in order to have success, victory, and walking in an overcoming faith, and seeing heaven as my goal, and my habitation being with Him for eternity, I'm willing to do that. Amen? Are you? Look at verse 7. Now we get into some of our popular scriptural references we like to talk about. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I'm going to read that from the Common English Bible. The Lord's instruction is perfect, reviving one's very being. The Lord's laws are faithful, making naive people wise. Don't you like that? The Lord's instruction is perfect. There's nothing wrong with God's word. There's nothing wrong with what he is trying to say to the church. And it revives us. It encourages us. It gives strength to our very being when we begin to consider and possess and meditate upon the word of the Lord. And in its laws and in its principles and in its teachings, it helps us to be the people who are faithful and also gives wisdom to the naive and helps us to become wise. Each and every one of us. Because we're looking through things not just through our mindset, but we're seeing things through the mirror of God's word, and we're recognizing who we really are in the face of that word through the anointing of God's Holy Spirit. The law of the Lord is perfect. And what happens? It converts a soul. Because the word of the Lord is perfect, and because the word of the Lord is perfect instruction, it can help convert the soul. It can help touch our most innermost being, and our mind, body, and spirit can be one with God and pattern itself after the visage the Lord has for us. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple, making naive people wise. Have you ever met people that were very naive? And I've been naive about quite a few things in life, so I better not talk about other people. I can talk about myself. I've been very naive about some things. And it's been pointed out to me. And then I just, oh, that's the most wonderful person. Or, oh, you know, that's so neat. And then later on, somebody speaks to me who has a little bit of insight and clarity and wisdom and says, Patrick, that person, da-da-da-da-da-da. Or, Patrick, that principle, you know, it sounds good, but yet, if carried out and not looking in the eyes of grace, you don't see it for what it is. Then I have a totally different perspective. Perspective brings perfection. Perspective brings perfection. When we look at things through the Lord's understanding, it will bring perfection. If we see things out of what he sees, and the insight he sees, and the clarity he understands, and get the perception of what God envisions, then we see things differently. Too many times, we look at things for face value, and we don't see through things, we don't see the whole picture, and we get ourselves in trouble. Let God's wisdom be that which you are consumed with and gain knowledge from, and allow his Holy Spirit to help you through the knowledge of his word and by his abiding presence. That way you won't find yourself making naive choices, and you'll be able to see the benefit of God's grace and eternality in his wisdom. Amen? Verse 8, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing in the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The statutes of the Lord are right. Rejoice in the heart. I rejoice in the word. I rejoice in what the Lord has set apart for me to do and sees for me to be a statute or principle to live by. And if I do so and walk with a rejoicing heart in thanksgiving to his word, I will see the victory and the fruit of God. I will have rejoicing in my heart because I'll walk in the freedom over sin. I'll walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set me free. And I'll walk in the power of God, and I'll see the victory of Christ without hesitation, without deviation, and understand that the Lord's word has given me hope for the future. Amen. Verse 9, the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. We need to respect the Lord. We need to respect the Lord. Honoring the Lord is correct. And honoring the Lord brings about correctedness. That's not perfect English. But the Lord corrects us. And when He ministers to us and through us, it corrects us. It gets us on right course. You know, when I respect someone and I take them for who they are in my relationship and understand the word and their knowledge of a situation or their character, and I begin to gain some of the wisdom and insight they have and use it for my own everyday living, I'm a blessed man. And you can be a blessed person as well. But sometimes we do not take in the good insight that we have from those with greater character or understanding or in whom are our elders, and we just begin to go on in our own way, and we find ourselves fumbling around about. We're not walking in the clearness and the conciseness of God's grace, and we don't see things as He does. You know, I think in our generation, we're missing out on that cleansing force of the Holy Spirit like we should. I think so many times we don't take retrospect. We don't look in retrospection. We don't see things really well, and we find ourselves not allowing the Lord to give us the proper insight we need. And so our hearts don't get clean. Our minds don't get clean. And we walk in the impurities of this world and the mindset of this world. And we judge out of an impure heart. We judge out of a character that's not right with God. We judge out of things that are not the norm. And we find ourselves, in doing so, hindering God's will and being a bad witness. I've seen a lot of people think they're right, but let him with eyes to have insight from God and ears to hear what the Lord says, give proper insight and clarity into things. And too many people find themselves making judgments, looking at things in what they think is righteousness, but instead it's presumptuous sin. It's with arrogance. It's with pride. It's thinking of themselves in a way that they shouldn't be. And because of it, they treat people incorrectly. They don't work for the benefit of the other person. They don't work to build up God's kingdom. They're working for their own little kingdom. And so problems develop. And situations happen. And it hurts the body of Christ. Verse 10. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than the honey and the honeycomb. God's word, His will, it's more to be desired than gold, yea, than fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Lord, clean me. Lord, purify me. Lord, move through me. Help me to be transparent in your eyes and to be what you want me to be. And take that arrogant spirit of presumptuous sin and just throw it away from me. Let me not walk in that prideful measure, and help me to see through the grace of God in humility, taking hold of the horns of the altar and recognizing what a vulnerable situation I'm in, what a vulnerable place that is, and to allow you just to do what you will, O God. One day in the Old Testament, a father took a son up a hill, and the son wondered, why, God, is there no sacrifice? And the man of God said, the Lord will provide Himself a sacrifice. He was totally vulnerable to God, that young man, aware of the situation, but willing to walk after his Father's will. In our hearts and lives, do we trust Him enough to stay on the altar? To be in that place of vulnerability, to gain the insights of the Lord long enough to be cleansed, to be strengthened, to be renewed, to become the person God wants us to be. Are we willing? Are we able to? I dare you, I challenge you to find that altar prayer where you make yourself vulnerable to God. Allow Him to cleanse you, to strengthen you, get your attitudes out that need to get, you know, wrung out and thrown out. to get those impediments out of your heart and your spirit that are proudful, arrogant. Let God fill your soul with love, mercy, kindness, and joy, and be filled with the Spirit. Thank you for being with us for part two of this lesson series, and I pray that God's word is blessing you and that you're learning from God's word as we continue on this study considering, Lord, deliver me from presumptuous sins. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll touch each and every one who's heard the word today, and I pray that they'll be strengthened. I pray that you'll help them in their walk and their talk, and I pray that you'll help them to become what you want them to be. And to see the work and the eternality of God, just bless them, O God, and strengthen them. And I pray that, God, you would show forth your love to them and help them to channel their hearts and lives into the right vacuum of where you want them to be, to see, O Lord Jesus Christ, the work and the fruit of God just minister in their hearts and lives in a very special way, and have them take upon themselves the character of God and being clothed with the righteousness of Christ. Thank you, Lord, and we praise you for your mercy and love. Touch and meet the needs of each and every one who's called in today, and guide them and use them for your glory. Touch their lives. Bless them, God. Where there is need, fill that need. Where there is a lack of hope, give them hope. And Lord, where there needs to be love, bless them with love. Touch them right now at their point of need as they speak out that need. Lord, to you, in covenant understanding, your word says, where two or more agree as touching anything, it shall be done. And minister to them right now at that point of need, in agreement, in Jesus' name, with your word. Amen. Thank you, Lord. God bless each and every one of you for being with us today. Tomorrow will be the final part of that lesson series, and we pray that it will be a blessing to you. If you need to reach us at CGMail, please call us at 646-926-0401 or email us at cgmfinc@gmail.com. Thank you for being with us today on the prayer line. Till next time on the prayer line, God bless.